Welcome into the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast presented by Geico. You can watch us every day at 11 a.m. on ESPN's Twitter, Fantasy, Facebook, and YouTube feeds, as well as the ESPN app. And you can download Fantasy Focus wherever you listen to podcasts.
You can also stream them.
You can also stream them there.
Yeah, you don't have to actually download
them.
You don't have to put them on your device. You can listen to them wherever
That's
you get
accurate.
Podcasts.
What
is your name?
My name is Daniel Dopp.
Yes.
I'm normally the producer of this show, but Fields Yates, still a part of Bimageddon, week 7.
Yes.
Out, so I am here for a second day on the couch.
He's off marrying his friend, so Daniel Dopp, ESPN said, you know, we could get you a professional host to fill in, but why don't we just go with Daniel? Let's go with Daniel Dopp. Shout out to Mama Dopp. She watches every single show. She must be bursting with pride.
She is.
Today, as you sit in the host chair, of course, Thirsty Kyle is now in your chair.
Yep.
Everyone moves up a spot.
Sure.
I stay here, and I am wearing a Hawaiian shirt today for people that aren't watching the live feed, that are just hearing the audio of it. I am wearing a Hawaiian shirt today.
Looks comfy.
It is. It's very comfortable, and I am wearing it. So aloha to everyone.
Yeah.
I am wearing it in honor of our very own star, Fania Bell. A lot of people think, oh, Stefania, she's so smart. She went to Princeton and Kansas and Miami, and she has 8 billion degrees. And I'm here to tell you right now, Stefania Bell might be, you know, the dumbest person on this show. And can I tell you why?
Please tell me why.
I'll tell you why. Because Stefania, literally 24 That's hours ago, was in Hawaii.
I know.
You were in Hawaii. Why did you come back?
Because she loves the people, man.
She doesn't. I know the people. You can't love them. Like, I'm one of them. You shouldn't love me. Go stay in Hawaii with your family. Your father turned 90. Happy birthday, Tony. Papa Bell, who we love here at the 0600.
I am
wearing a Hawaiian shirt in honor of your father, but also to remind you how dumb you are, Stefania, for coming back to Bristol, Connecticut, when you could have stayed in Hawaii.
I had a whole day of flying to think about my bad choices, my
yes.
bad decisions.
Yeah, exactly.
That's amazing.
Like, what are you doing? Where did life lead you? Like, you're smart. What are you, you know?
Well, no, not when it comes to that. But here, I will say this.
On.
I do want to take this moment.
Yes.
To thank all the fans of the 06010 who sent love and wishes and all of that to my dad for his birthday. He saw all the notes. He appreciated them. He felt the love. You guys made a little video for him, you and Matthew. Well, I'm talking to Daniel and Matthew.
Yeah.
I'm looking at Daniel saying you and Matthew.
I appreciate that.
And Field. And you know what? It was really, 90 years old. Well, Matthew, you know what.
90 years young.
Right?
Wow. He's
young.
Yeah, he's my contemporary. He's my contemporary.
Stop
That's
it.
Right. Wow. Yeah, him and I trade war stories. We go back in the day. Anyway. I don't know why. I told you, Stefania, I told you this off air. I'm telling you this on air. You should have stayed. You should have stayed longer. Like, you're in Hawaii. Your father's turning 90.
I know.
Like,
we had a wonderful time.
Yes.
We had a wonderful time. And he and my mom are enjoying now, you know, a little less
now energy. They're done with you?
My brother and I are gone.
Yeah,
I don't
no, believe me.
Know,
finally,
know.
They get alone time. That's what they've just been waiting for.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, finally the kids are out of the house.
That's right.
You know what it is.
That's right.
No, and I understand the joy that they're. Listen, we had a couple of days without you, Stefania, so we get it. We understand the present.
That's not true. I do not co-sign on that.
Anyway, happy birthday. Happy belated birthday to Tony. We love him. And Stefania, you were dumb for coming back.
I agree
with
that.
All right. So mahalo to everyone. Let's dive into last night's game.
Let's do it. Teddy Bridgewater. Boy, oh boy. Here's the good. 5 of 7 weeks this season, he's had multiple touchdown passes.
Okay.
Here's the bad.
Yeah.
Basically everything else right now.
Yeah, I mean, whatever.
13.8 fantasy points. Great. Did he get you a couple points? If you needed a bye week streamer, someone that you had, like, fine, but not an overwhelming performance here.
Look, short week going against a tough defense. You're lucky to get 13.8
yes.
fantasy points.
Agreed.
Like, because the two touchdown passes were in close, and they were basically swing passes to running backs where Melvin Gordon and then Javonte Williams basically did the rest of the work. Easily could have been, you know, they could have been tackled the one and gotten rushing touchdowns or something like that. So I actually think if you watch that game, you'll be like, I'll take 13.8 because it actually could have been a lot worse. Not that 13.8 is good. It certainly isn't.
Yep.
It's a slow-moving, low-volume offense that just doesn't have the playmaking ability in general to be viable at the quarterback position. However, next week, they do get Jerry Jeudy back. They're expected to get Jerry Jeudy back, and they get the Washington football team defense.
Cure-all.
And that's a cure-all. So Teddy Bridgewater will probably be ranked fifth next week. But I'm just, you know, so, yeah, I mean, it is what it is. It's fine. Credit to the Cleveland Browns, who came out and played tough.
So let's talk about the wide receivers really quickly, since we're talking about Teddy Bridgewater, because with only 187 passing yards, there just wasn't a lot to go around this game. For Cortland Sutton, he's still a beast. I love Cortland Sutton. I'm probably starting him every week, but I'm not taking a lot away from this. Five catches on five targets for 68 yards, excuse me. There's nothing really, when I look at this performance, that I'm saying that's going to change my perspective on these receivers.
That's exactly right. I mean, Tim Patrick ended up getting five targets, didn't do a lot with them, but he did get one end zone target, you know, and again, it was a low volume attack. I just think, you know, that they are, that the Broncos outside of Cortland Sutton, Noah Fant because of the tight end position.
Yep.
I'm talking about the pass catchers here, not the running backs. But Sutton, and then when Jeudy comes back, I think they're basically, you know, matchup dependent. I mean, Tim Patrick's a streamer. He's a streamer for a reason. And, you know, it's by McGeddon. So if you had to start him last night, it's, you know, whatever. You were lucky to get something out of it. But again, like, they just didn't play well, and the Browns are a tough defense, and you're on the road on a Thursday night on a short week.
Yeah. So let's talk about these running backs then, because I think that's a big part of this conversation here. The only reason why either one of them had big fantasy days was because they both got into the end zone. However, Javonte Williams looked far and away like the better running back last night, Matthew Berry.
We talked about this in the preseason, that our expectation was that this is what I said in the preseason, and I stand by it more now than ever. What I said in the preseason was, I said Javonte Williams is going to be this year's Cam Akers. And by that, I mean a rookie that has a lot of buzz that is going to be overdrafted. Cam Akers, whatever, two preseasons ago was overdrafted. He was drafted like in the fourth round, and he was brutal for much of the year. He was stuck in a committee. He got hurt a little bit. I said Javonte Williams is going to be overdrafted this year because Melvin Gordon's not going away. He's going to be part of this backfield. I said, but the Broncos' schedule towards the end is great. They have a really favorable schedule towards the end. I think Javonte Williams is a really talented player, and I think over the course of the season, he will overtake Melvin Gordon, and that where they start the season is kind of 1A and 1B, with Williams being the 1B, I think that switches over the course of the season, and Williams is now, it's like a 65-35 kind of switch, and given the schedule down the stretch, I do think Javonte Williams becomes, you know, a real fantasy factor down the stretch, the way that Cam Akers won a lot of people their leagues last year.
Yeah.
I think that's going to happen. Look, Melvin Gordon is still solid. That touchdown was a thing of beauty.
Yes,
like,
it
you
was.
Know, I mean, but Javonte Williams, younger player, like, just better to the eye test.
Javonte
Williams, he looks good, just more of a burst, just more excitement there. And so as long as Melvin Gordon is healthy, it's going to limit the opportunities for Javonte Williams, especially because, by the way, this is a low volume attack, right? It's not one that is, you know, really going to be in the top 10 of pace of play. Thirsty Kyle, look up where Denver is in terms of pace of play. My guess is they're in the bottom 10. By the way, you guys can't see this, but literally Thirsty Kyle just gave me a wrap it up look.
Whoa,
I mean, like, it's unbelievable.
Love it.
Like,
I love it.
Everyone's full of the field leaves for one day.
Wow.
And everyone's all full of themselves.
Do you know how long Kyle has waited to tell Matthew to hurry
to wrap it up?
Come on now. I mean,
exactly.
Lisa,
take a shot of Kyle. Take a shot of Kyle. Just so everyone, go ahead, Kyle. Go ahead. Do it for the camera now.
We got to wrap this up.
There you go. Sure. All right. There you go. We got it on camera now. All right. Thank you very much. So, anyway, that's my take on those running backs there.
I agree with that.
They both remain high end flexes, but I do think Javonte Williams is a potential trade target because I do think his value continues to go up.
All right. So, let's talk about the running back on the other side that absolutely blew this game wide open, and that's D'Ernest Johnson, Matthew Berry.
Blew the roof off the doors. D'Ernest Johnson.
What do you do with him?
I mean, I think you do everything you can. I think they probably release Nick Chubb,
probably,
you know, this
right?
morning, right?
Yeah,
you know, they probably trade Kareem Hunt for a kick returner or something like that. a lot of credit here for D'Ernest Johnson, for the Browns, who were playing without a couple of offensive linemen, as we talked about on Wednesday's show, like, you know, so in backup quarterback. And yet D'Ernest Johnson, like, I thought had great burst, vision, didn't just get what was blocked, like,
agreed,
made plays,
yeah,
like, really impressive. And, you know, I don't know that there's much to take away. You know, obviously, my assumption is, what's his rostership percentage? I assume he was picked up in a lot of leagues.
I'm checking it.
All right. So I assume he's not available in most leagues. obviously as you are, you're picking him up. But I do think, here's what I would say. It sounded like, and let's bring in Stefania here. It sounds like from the broadcast last night that they're not expecting Kareem. I mean, Kareem Hunt's on IR, so he's missing at least 2 more weeks. I don't know if we expect Nick Chubb back next week as well, but I would say that D'Ernest Johnson, it wasn't just a one-game thing. I think D'Ernest Johnson has value and will certainly prove, hey, I need to be on the field for as long as one of those two guys is out. As long as Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, at least one of them is out, he's going to have value. So he's going to have value for at least the next 2 weeks, and then we'll see what happens if Kareem Hunt is able to come back in 3 weeks. I'm not convinced that's the case, Stefania.
Well, we don't know. I mean, look, at they put him on IR because they knew it would be at least 3 games. But I think for Nick Chubb, they are hopeful that he makes it back for the Halloween game, which would be next week. So,
sure, against Washington, right.
Definitely the sound of it was that his scenario less severe than Kareem Hunt's.
I'll tell you what, D'Ernest Johnson rostered in 72% of leagues right now.
Yes, sir.
So if he's still out there in your league, it's at least worth going out and taking a chance. There's a few leagues where he might be out there, but... you're at least keeping him on your bench. You're not getting rid of him. He's going to be a guy that like you're going to, but you can't really trade him for a whole lot. I wouldn't think unless you were like, this is what's the actionable, like you're excited about it for as long as you get it.
Right. I think the actionable is that if he is not rostered by the person who has Kareem Hunt or Nick Chubb in your league, like I think his trade value obviously went up significantly after last night. And so if you have him and maybe you didn't start him last night because you're like, I want to see how he looks. I want to see how they use him. But now all of a sudden, you have a valuable asset that you could, I would look to somebody who is going to be, because especially after this weekend, there'll be teams that are desperate to win the next couple of weeks in your league, and there'll be teams that are running back needy. So you're like, hey, here's a guy that's going to probably, you know, borderline top 20 guy the next couple of weeks as long as Kareem Hunt is out, and see what you can get. But yes, very fantasy viable. Not, I think the actionable is not a fluke. Should be started absolutely as a must start next week against Washington.
I agree.
Whether or not Nick Chubb is back, and will be very viable as long as Kareem Hunt is out. And it'd be interesting to see when Kareem Hunt comes back. I think D'Ernest Johnson has a chance to, if he plays at this level, to carve out a role for himself.
I agree.
You know, so
I agree. He looked really great last night.
Looked really great.
Let's also talk about the rest of this team. Stefania, Case Keenum got the start last night because Baker Mayfield, obviously not a part of this game. What's the latest that we have on Baker before we move on to the rest of this offense?
Well, so now this report's come out about a fracture in his shoulder. And I think, you know, people are surprised, but this often happens when you have traumatic dislocation. We know they had a second episode of a subluxation of his shoulder and was in a great deal of pain. This now adds a dimension to the injury that we didn't have before. And it's unclear how they're going to choose to manage it. If they decide they really want to wait for a period of time and allow him some healing before he returns, obviously he doesn't need his left arm to throw, but there's concern about making this injury worse or him just being able to function in terms of ball handling, what he needs to do, just to function at the position. So sure. I would say stay tuned. It's not a clear outline yet what the path is that they're going to take with him.
All right, Matthew. So last night we saw Case Keenum lead this offense, 199 yards passing and a passing touchdown. Here's what I'm going to say. Case Keenum is a viable NFL quarterback. If you need him as a streamer for any reason, I think that you could continue to use him. My biggest concern is that last night we saw so much D'Ernest Johnson, they didn't need to throw. We didn't need to see the wide receiver. So I would love to have a little bit more faith in him, but we didn't get to see a lot of what I was hoping from Case Keenum
last
night.
I don't think there's anything you can take away from last night in terms of the pass catchers. So Jarvis Landry came, looked good there, and then he gets banged up towards the end of the game. Odell Beckham Jr., clearly not 100%. Uh-huh. He's in and out of the game as well. Donovan Peoples-Jones, who a lot of people picked up after last week, thinking he'd be a good streamer this week. Reports come out literally just before the game that he's looking questionable. He doesn't really do anything last night at all. He ends up not playing. Anthony Schwartz is a guy I like. I have him in our Dynasty League.
Yep.
If the injuries to Beckham and Donovan Peoples-Jones is more severe than that becomes interesting as well. But I don't think there's anything from the passing game. We don't know the status of Baker for next week as well. They've got 10 days to get him right. So to me, I think it's just there's no actionable items here.
Yep.
It was just a weird game. And luckily Cleveland didn't need to throw that much. They were able to run the ball very, very effectively. They'll have Nick Chubb next week as well. So yeah, they'll be, you know, again, and they get Washington next week. Yeah. So, right? Oh, no, Denver gets Washington. Sorry. Who plays? Who does Cleveland play next week?
Cleveland. What?
Either, on the... either way. Oh, is it on the... They play Pittsburgh next week.
Oh, Cleveland plays Pittsburgh. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, so anyway, we'll see what happens there. But I think the expectation is to the extent that you would, assuming your pass catcher on the Browns is healthy, I think that you would, and you would use them how you would normally use them. I guess the takeaway to me is I don't think there's that big a drop off from Baker Mayfield to Case Keenum.
Right.
So the point is that if you're using Jarvis Landry normally, he'd be, assuming he's healthy, he'll be fine with Case Keenum. If you weren't normally using him, I don't think you suddenly elevate a player, right? You know, that's basically, I think, the takeaway. You don't love the matchup with Pittsburgh next week either.
Agreed. Agree with that. I love being able to see him throw almost 200 yards and a touchdown last night, though, in a night where, in all honesty, Dearness Johnson dominated, and he didn't look bad. So that's the thing. There's not a lot to take away, though, unfortunately. No. All right. Matthew, do you own or rent your home? Sure you do.
Sure. I do.
I'll bet it can be hard work. But you know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico.
Is it?
Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around the house. So go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. Now, college football fans, after an offseason that felt a little more off than usual, Fansville and Dr. Pepper invite you to celebrate because college football is back and so are the fans. Yes, it's the most wonderful time of the year again, the season of Saturdays, when rivalries run deep and nacho cheese dip runs even deeper. So crack open an ice cold Dr. Pepper, warm up your cornhole tossing arm, and return to glory with an all-new season of Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. All right, we're going to jump into injuries that we need to know about in week 7. Stefania, we are going to start in Seattle, where I was told that Alex Collins was going to practice yesterday. And then it looks like Alex Collins didn't practice yesterday.
He did not practice yesterday. Listed with a groin injury. Remember we talked about after the game, Pete Carroll said he had a hip injury, got kind of beat up. He took a hit to the glute and to another part of his hip, and he said he was pretty sore. It didn't make it sound like they thought he would miss, but it kind of sounded like they were holding their breath to wait till it got later in the week. And with the game not being till Monday night, I don't know that him not practicing Thursday has me completely alarmed that he won't play. I think today is a much bigger day.
I agree with that. Here's what I would say. I would check out Fantasy Football Now on Sunday morning to see where you're at. Like Stefania said, knowing that it's a Monday matchup, you want to make sure that you have your running back situation sorted out and that you know where you're at with that. They'll always have a ton of information on Fantasy Football Now. Stefania, Antonio Gibson has a lingering shin issue that he's still dealing with.
I feel like we're going to be talking about this every week, you know, and there's a little bit of he said going on in Washington in terms of what the severity of the injury is. But the bottom line is he's playing through something that clearly is bothering him. You can see him coming in and out of the games. He's not going to be 100%. He doesn't practice on Wednesday. He's limited on Thursday. Last time it was game time decision. I think this is going to be the nature of how it's going to go. And at some point, it's either going to get worse, which we hope is not the case, but it'll either get to the point where he can't play, or he'll somehow continue to get through it, and eventually it won't be an issue anymore. I think it's tough. He's just not getting the rest that he needs to allow this to fully heal. You're going to be dealing with a running back who's compromised because of the nature of the injury.
Yeah.
And the frustrating thing here about Antonio Gibson to that point is that because of the defense has been so bad, he gets sort of quote unquote written out of games, right? Because like they don't want to use him in the passing game. They're trying to limit his touches anyway. He's had under 15 carries now in 4 of the last 5 games. He's had under 50 rushing yards the last 4 games. So he's become somewhat touchdown dependent. They're using J.D. McKissic a lot more. J.D. McKissic, we'll talk about him later in the show, but he's on the love list for one of these reasons. Like, I feel like if Antonio Gibson's active and you have him on your roster, you have to start him. You don't have likely better options, especially this week, and you're hoping for a touchdown. I know Scott Turner came out and said, like, listen, we're managing his reps throughout the week, you know what I mean, because he should be good to go on Sunday, but he's clearly not 100% healthy.
Agreed.
As somebody who has Antonio Gibson in a number of leagues, like there's part of me that's just like, put him on IR, give him a couple of games, let him rest, let this heal, And let's just go with J.D. McKissic and Jared Patterson. Because at this point, honestly, Washington's playing
they,
for a...
They kind of are going with J.D. McKissic.
I mean, anyway, it's, right,
it's
they
really
have to,
like
right.
How they're running this game. I mean, maybe they want him on the field just to have that dimension, but... I agree. It's going to be hard for him to get better.
And real quickly, before we move on to the next player, I just want to go back to Alex Collins, Stefania. I just want to, here's the thing. They're playing the Saints on Monday night, which is one of the best run defense in the NFL. They're third in the NFL over the last 4 weeks against the run. They've had 2 weeks to prepare for this game. So one of two things happens. Either Alex Collins is active, and we're not going to sure if he's 100% healthy or not. So now you've got him in a tough matchup. They've got Rashad Penny back, right? You'll see some DJ Dallas and Travis Homer. Or Alex Collins is inactive, in which case then you've got a true committee. We're not going to be sure how much work Penny will get in his first game. And again, you've got Homer and Dallas there as well. To me, again, you may not have this option because it is Bymageddon, but in an ideal world, you're not starting any of these guys. I guess if Collins is active and you have to, you can start him and hope he gets into the end zone. He had a tough matchup last week against Pittsburgh and obviously looked great. But I'm worried at less than 100% in sure. a tough matchup that maybe, he doesn't get a full workload there. He's not going to be that involved in the passing game. So you really were hoping for a touchdown. So yeah. To the point, Stefania's going to be tracking that story all weekend long. Fantasy Football Now, Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN2. She'll have the latest there, but just
or
understand
like
it's the
me,
Monday night game.
And you have Chris Carson. And he's on IR.
Right.
And you have Alex Collins, too. And it's Bymageddon.
Right.
So even if he plays and he's compromised,
yeah,
you're playing him.
Yeah, I understand. But I think the point here is that, again, Stefania has Chris Carson. Stefania has Alex Collins. So it's the curse of Stefania
Bell.
That's
exactly what it is.
Dun, dun, dun.
That's exactly what
it is. Just so you know, in terms of everyone, if you're looking for someone to blame.
Stefania, let's move on to the Chicago Bears with Damian Williams, where I am hoping you're going to tell me that he is off the COVID list so I can use him this week.
Well, I'm not going to tell you that. He is not, when players go on the reserve COVID-19 list, we've talked about sort of the different potential outcomes depending on whether you're vaccinated or unvaccinated. And if you're unvaccinated, it's going to be a 10-day period before you're eligible to return. And Adam Schefter reporting yesterday that the soonest that Damian Williams could return would be Saturday because he is an unvaccinated player. So that right there tells you you're not going to know until Saturday. Could be Khalil Herbert getting the start anyway, just because we don't know exactly how this has affected Damian Williams, what his conditioning would be like, game readiness, etc.
Sure. Matthew, we will talk about Khalil Herbert a little bit later on in the show, so we're going to move along to the Cardinals, where Chase Edmonds is still dealing with a shoulder injury. Is that right, Stefania?
He is, and he's still limited, but I expect him to play. Now that he's been back out there and the fact that he's still practicing, even though they're controlling the practice reps, I expect him to play.
Matthew, you've got James Conner on the love list. You're the only ranker to have James Conner over Chase Edmonds this week. Is it the matchup?
Is it because I'm smarter than everyone else? Yes, you can say it. That's
okay.
Fine.
I don't want to say it.
I don't want to say it. You said it. I understand. Yes. Am I smarter than everyone else? Yes. Fine. If you're going to accuse me of it, yes, obviously. I don't understand what everyone... Why do you not have Chase Edmonds over James Conner? Understand this. Chase Edmonds, obviously not 100%.
Correct.
Healthy here. James Conner, and there's been four different times that Arizona is basically 1-1 big, right? In those four games where the Cardinals have just sort of have blown out their opponent, he's averaging 16.3 touches a game. Okay?
Okay.
The Cardinals are 17-point favorites over the Texans.
Oh, they're playing the Texans.
They're playing the Texans.
Oh.
The Texans, who have allowed the fourth most running back rushing touchdowns, James Conner is top three in the NFL in goal to go carries.
He's their goal line back.
What are we doing here, people? How am I the only person to have him ranked higher than Chase Edmonds? Is it because I'm the smartest person on the staff? Maybe. I didn't think that was the case. But I'm just saying here.
Wow.
I'm honestly, they're 17-point favorites. He gets a ton of work when they win. He's top four in the NFL in goal-to-go rushes for the season, right? The Texans give up a ton of rushing touchdowns to opposing running backs. I don't like to do this, Daniel, but I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this right here, right now. I'm on camera one. Here we go. Lisa? I'm saying this to you, and I'm saying to the rest of Fantasy Football Nation.
Oh, no.
James Conner will score a touchdown this week. I guarantee it.
Oh, wow. Boy.
I guarantee it. There you go.
All right.
Done. Done and done.
I'm not going to touch that.
Done and done. Money back if that doesn't happen.
At Matthew Berry TMR.
By all means, yes, please. Please. You know what? Troll me on TikTok. I get a lot of
troll me on TikTok.
Like, yeah, exactly. Like, I get a lot of like, listen, plenty of trolling on Twitter at Matthew Berry and TMR and on Instagram at Matthew Berry TMR and even on the Fantasy Life app at Matthew Berry, but not a lot of trolling on TikTok at Matthew Berry TMR.
Sure,
so
sure.
All you talkers out there, come on. I think that's what they call them. That's what the kids call them, talkers.
Stefania, I want you to talk to me about Latavius Murray, who I don't think practiced yesterday. Is this correct?
He hasn't practiced yet this week. And, you know, I think we were all so wrapped up in the fact that it was like three crazy veterans resurrected to score, to be involved in the Ravens game last week, that we missed a little bit the fact that Latavius Murray left with an ankle injury. And that was really what gave opportunity to Devontae Freeman and Le'Veon Bell. So he had that ankle injury in that game after, you know, scoring a touchdown, putting up some rushing yards, about 45 rushing yards and a couple of catches. But he has not practiced yet. It's unclear whether he'll be out this week. Sometimes the Ravens will hold people out till Friday. But if he doesn't play, do we see Tyson Williams return to the committee? That's the question.
I mean, listen, you know, maybe, but it's also they could find another old dusty running back that's out there, you know, Sharkhandrick West, Spencer Ware.
Yep.
You know, maybe one of those guys, Bryce Brown.
Who did Lamar Miller just sign with?
Yeah, Lamar Miller would be a good one. Todd Gurley's still out there.
Yep.
They kicked the tires on Todd Gurley. Where's Alfred Morris these days? Where's my boy Alfred Morris?
Wow. Friend.
Where's my best friend Alfred Morris?
We don't need any more Alfred Morris on this podcast.
Yeah, I mean, just you know, John Riggins. Where's John Riggins these days? Steven Davis, Skip Hicks. How about just a bunch of old Washington football?
I was going to say, now you're noticing people I do not know. I don't know who any of those
Joik
people
Bell?
Are.
Where's Joik Bell these days?
Oh, my gosh. Joik Bell.
I love Joik Bell. Let's talk about a couple of pass catchers here, Stefania. We're going to start with Julio Jones, who, listen, what's his status for Sunday before Matthew and I get into what we're going to do with Julio?
Well, you know, it's unclear. There was a lot when he left last week's game. I think it was widely reported and just assumed that he had a setback that pulled him out. But remember, the Titans were talking early on that they were going to monitor him throughout the game and potentially just see how he reacted and decide on his utilization based on that. So I'm not sure that he didn't leave at a time that they deemed it appropriate for him to just come out of the game because he'd had enough work in that matchup. So while he has not been doing much with the team, he's been working on the side. He has been doing some work, but it's been on the side. It's not clear yet whether he would miss the game. In fact, I think he actually probably plays, but consider this. It's AJ Brown was not well. You know, he had that illness. He dealt with food poisoning. You saw that he was really struggling, didn't look good when he was on the bench. He's still not really feeling great. So even though the assumption is that he'll play, you know, he's been dehydrated. This has been a rough week for AJ Brown. I think they probably both play. I'm not convinced either of them is at 100% by game time.
Mm. All right, we're going to talk about AJ Brown a little bit later in the show, so we're going to keep moving on. T.Y. Hilton, after his revenge game last week, Stefania unfortunately left a little bit early. What's his status right now for week 7?
Well, of course they're going to be careful with him because this was a soft tissue injury that was completely unrelated to why he was gone. He had the disc injury in his neck, had a procedure, went on IR, came back, played well from that and actually looked pretty good, but pulled up with some quad tightness late in the game. I'm told it wasn't that serious. I think there's a chance that he plays this week, but they're going to be careful with him for sure.
Okay. Let's talk about the entire New York Football Giants offense.
Let me get out my notes. I mean, this is really, I feel badly for them. It's just so many names, right? So Saquon Barkley, Kenny Galladay, Kadarius Toney, probably, you can count them probably all out. They haven't practiced in any way. Sterling Shepard had a hamstring setback because that seems to be the injury that is most plaguing the team, but apparently not considered to be severe. There's a chance that Sterling Shepard will play. And then Evan Engram, he too dealing with an injury, but was out there yesterday. And even if they're not doing everything, I think right now the Giants are just trying to keep the guys who have had a brush with some sort of setback at an available level to play so it doesn't get worse. So right now I think Evan Engram and Sterling Shepard both have chances to play.
I love
stay
that.
Tuned.
If Sterling Shepard is active, he's going to get like 35 targets in this
All
game.
The targets.
Seriously. Like, you just find a way to get Sterling Shepard in your lineup. And I know that doesn't feel sexy, but especially this week and by Mageddon, Sterling Shepard is going to be a freaking great play for you guys. All right.
It does not sound sexy, by the way. This just came through on an app I'm not allowed to mention, but Joe Judge saying Evan Engram will practice today.
There you go.
So that is Dan. Hang on. I want to give credit where credit is due. Dan Soleimani, who is the managing editor of Giants.com, tweeted this out today.
Nice.
He just tweeted it out like literally a couple minutes ago. Joe Judge says,
yeah,
Evan
they
Engram
usually
will
talk
today.
To the media and then they yep. say they'll practice. But then, of course, you always also want to look afterward because sometimes they go out to do things and then it doesn't work out as they intended. So.
As long as we're talking about it, he also says, this is again Dan's tweet, they're optimistic about Darius Slayton.
Oh,
so okay. Some things have accumulated. The entire tweet is Joe Judge said Evan Engram will practice today. Some things have accumulated with Sterling Shepard. They will move him around today and see where he is. They're optimistic about Darius Slayton. Again, that is at Dan_Soleimani. Apologies, Dan, if I mispronounce your name. He's the managing editor of Giants.com. And anyway, so stay tuned on all the Giants.
Okay, Stefania, we got a couple more tight ends we're going to get to before we move on with non-injuries.
So, before you move on with non-injuries,
correct.
I'm
two
like,
more
oh,
ends.
You were talking about these tight ends as yes. if they are not injured.
No,
got it. No.
Sorry.
Well, Dallas Goedert, not really. He had the reserve COVID-19 list. He was activated off of that. So Dallas Goedert now available. Rob Gronkowski remains out of practice, still not doing anything. Certainly not encouraging as you look towards this weekend, even though they've said they're hopeful. You know, it's like, why push it?
Yeah, I hear that. Matthew, I feel like if Dallas Goedert is starting, you're definitely playing him this week, and there's really nothing else really to say from that standpoint.
I would agree with that.
Okay.
Yeah, should be great.
It is time to go for two, brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. We're going to ask some questions as if you're running back to the well this week. Get it? Running back to the well. Nothing, guys? All right.
I got you. I like it.
No, good, you don't like it. Play. Nobody laughed. You're the one that made the joke.
Yeah, that's why I liked it.
All right. So obviously you're starting Derrick Henry this week. We're going to be talking about this Titans-Chiefs game. You're starting Derrick Henry this week for sure. But Matthew Berry.
Yes, sir.
Darrell Williams. Are you in or are you out on him after a big week six last week? 23.9 fantasy points last week against your Washington football team.
How's this even a question? Like, I was in on Darrell Williams last week. I was in on him before it was cool to be in on him. And now, after a two-touchdown game, how is anyone not in on Darrell Williams? You know, he got 24 touches last week. That's five more than CEH got at any game this season at all. He got 100% of all the Chiefs' red zone carries here as well. I'm at number nine. I'm as a top 10 running back this week.
Yes, you do.
It's by Mageddon. How is this even a question?
You absolutely
have to. Who put this together?
Him.
Did you put this rundown together?
Of course I put this rundown together.
What are we doing?
So you're starting both
Darrell
Williams.
This is what you came back to. I don't know what you were.
And Derrick Henry this week.
Oh, my God.
Congratulations. Let's talk about. Also, pick every NFL matchup for a shot of prizes with Pigskin Pick'em, presented by Truly Hard Seltzer. Play at ESPN.com/PigskinPick'em or in the ESPN Fantasy app. There is a fantasy-focused league in there if you want to play in the Pigskin Pick'em League with us. All right, Matthew, here's one that's, I think, a little bit tougher. Kenyon Drake last week had 21.3 fantasy points. This week, you have him as running back 32. Consensus is at running back 32. So you're right there with the rest of everyone else.
Right.
In or out this week on Kenyon Drake?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, desperate times call for desperate measures. So it sort of depends on your situation here. And obviously, encouraging last week in terms of his usage, right? So we had a new play caller in Las Vegas. John Gruden, no longer the head coach. Greg Olson, their offense coordinator. But he hadn't been the one calling the plays. Gruden was the one who called the plays. So last week, Greg Olson calls the plays. And what do you know? Kenyon Drake suddenly gets some run, and they start using him in the passing game, which is great. He ends up scoring two touchdowns here. So there's certainly optimism around Kenyon Drake that, at least somewhat, that wasn't there before. I'm going to say out just because, again, we don't know how much was that 1 week or not. I still think you see Josh Jacobs quite a bit in this one. It still feels like it's going to be hard to, it's hard to count on the touchdowns.
Yes.
Right? It's always hard to count on the touchdowns. And then you're like, well, how much work will he get in the passing game? It's kind of a one game sample size. So I'm as a very low end flex for the premises of this bit. I've got to say out because I'm at 32, but like I'm not as out on him as I used to be. How about that? Does that make any sense?
It totally makes sense. And here's where I think I'm at on Kenyon Drake. It's okay for me to be hesitant because mm-hmm. we didn't see it for a long time. I got that we saw it 1 week. We saw it 1 week after there were some changes. And yes, maybe that will be a predictive thing of what's going to happen going forward. But I think it's okay to be a little bit hesitant and say, I want to see it once more before I fully trust it. That said, as you were saying, Matthew Berry, it's week 7. If you have to play a running back that has a pulse, you got to play a running back that has a pulse.
Yeah, I mean,
if you can help it, I wouldn't play Kenyon Drake, but if you need to, we get it.
But people that are listening to this that aren't watching this, we have a graphic that shows Kenyon Drake, 28 rushes for 91 yards, 3.3 yards per rush, just one rushing touchdown. Those are stats for the season.
That's not good.
Like, not for a game, mm-hmm. for the season. And yep. again, like the encouraging part, if you have Drake on your roster, is feels like he was used more last week with a new play caller, but... I just want to...
It's okay to want to see it one more time.
I want to see it one more time before I'm ready to trust him and say I'm in. But having said that, like, again, you could do worse during Bye-Mageddon if you do have to use Drake this week.
All right, with the Bears probably not going to have Damian Williams, depending on what happens on Saturday with his designation. Khalil Herbert, 19.2 fantasy points against the Packers last week. He looked fantastic, Matthew. Going back, assuming there's no Darrell Williams, are you in or are you out on Khalil Herbert?
I'm mostly out. Look, I ranked him at 22.
Okay.
Like, this is a tough matchup against Tampa Bay, right? And so far, they didn't really use him much in the passing game last week. They certainly didn't 2 weeks ago. No running backs had over 100 yards against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers,
mm-hmm.
right? They're top 10 in terms of fewest fantasy points allowed to opposing running backs, you know? And over the last 4 weeks, they are the best run defense in the NFL, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And so... You know, what you're hoping for is maybe some junk time. Maybe, you know, you're hoping he falls into the end zone, which could always happen. So, in general, a lot of it's obviously dependent on Damian Williams, because if Damian Williams is out, if we're assuming that, then Herbert will get enough run to be a high-end flex,
sure.
low-end RB2.
Not when you feel great about against that defense,
but
though.
You don't feel great about it. So, in general, I'm out on Khalil Herbert.
That's fair for this week. All right. J.D. McKissic last week, 19 fantasy points against the Kansas City Chiefs. Obviously, we talked about Antonio Gibson and his injuries that he's dealing with right now. Matthew, are you in or are you out on J.D. McKissic here in week 7?
I'm in. I mean, come on.
Come on.
He made the love list this week, so there's that, okay? But first off, J.D. McKissic has had 3 different top 15 finishes so far this season. Packers have allowed the 3rd most receiving touchdowns to opposing running backs. And you just sort of think about how this game plays out. Washington is basically a 10-point underdog in this one.
Yeah.
I mean, negative game script has happened quite a bit to Washington because their defense has been so absolutely brutal this year. And as a result, they like J.D. McKissic on 3rd down in passing situations, in the 2-minute offense, and certainly with Antonio Gibson less than 100%. It makes sense to keep him out more often. So, you know, Washington's going to be throwing a lot, and I think they're going to be throwing to J.D. McKissic, who, you know, I have as a top 20 play again this week. He was a guy that, by the way, remember last week against Kansas City, 16 touches for 110 yards. Again, another game where they were negative game script,
yep.
right? I mean, just that's what's been happening with J.D. McKissic this week and this year, and so... Yes, I'm in on him. And, you know, again, it's all situational. It sort of depends on 100%. Whether, you know.
I hear you.
Who all you have. I'm not a big, I don't know if you can tell because I'm trying to hide it. I'm trying to be a professional.
Yeah.
I don't love the idea of in or out during Bye-Mageddon.
It's tough.
I'm not a big fan of the segment is what
tough.
I'm saying here.
I hear you,
Secret
Matthew.
Squirrel. I understand you put it together,
mm-hmm.
so I don't want to insult you personally.
No.
But I want to give feedback, constructive feedback.
Yeah, it's glad that we did that right now.
Right now.
Yes.
Got it.
Let's talk about Latavius Murray,
yes.
Matthew Berry, because he's one of 3 running backs that scored touchdowns for the Ravens last week.
Yeah.
Are you in or are you out potentially? Again, I understand week 7 Bye-Mageddon, but are you in or are you out on Latavius Murray this
week?
I'm
out on him. I haven't running back 27. That's even if he plays. I mean, you heard Stefania talk earlier. Again, hadn't played all week. We'll, you know, hadn't practiced all week. We'll see what ends up happening today. But Bengals actually, you know, better defense than I think they get credit for here. You know, I mean, they've allowed the 4th fewest yards to opposing running backs over the last 4 weeks. They're the 4th best defense in terms of rushing yards allowed per game. Now, the Ravens are big favorites in this game. But, you know, so again, if Latavius Murray is less than 100%, you know, maybe, right, you see some Tyson Williams, he got some Le'Veon Bell and Devontae Freeman in there. Like, to me, the argument for starting Latavius Murray is assuming he's active, which we don't even know if that's going to be the case, is you think he scores a touchdown.
Yep.
That's literally been his only redeeming quality fantasy-wise. If he doesn't get in the end zone, he's useless to you. And agreed. So, tough matchup here. He's less than 100%. I'm out on Latavius Murray this week.
I'm with you there, actually. Devontae Booker is going to be our last one, taking on the Carolina Panthers. Running back 24 last week, a little bit of a tough week against the LA Rams. Rams have a good defense, but he's still involved in the passing game. He's involved in the running game. What do you think this week? Are you in or are you out on Devontae Booker?
I'm in on Devontae Booker. You know, we were talking earlier. I was reading the tweet from the guy that works for Giants.com. Stefania's getting her notes out for all the Giants
for
players.
Every Giant player.
But you know who she didn't talk about? Devontae Booker.
Yep.
Like, I mean, like, he's going to play. He's healthy. And so when they're sitting there looking for bodies to touch the ball, like, look, he got bad luck last week when Elijah Petty vultured the touchdown. And I think that if he's in there and gets that touchdown, I think the narrative around him is a lot different. But I think Devontae Booker is a decent player. This is a much better matchup against the Panthers than it was last week against the Rams. Panthers are 30th against the run over the last 4 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, the bottom three in the NFL. And so Booker, who should get a lot of volume in a game in which I think the Giants will be able to move the ball. I know the Panthers overall have a good defense, but I do think you can run on them. And so Booker, who is a true three down back and should get a lot of work in this one, I'm as a top 20 play. Yeah, I'm in on Devontae Booker this week.
I'm with you on Booker, especially with all the injuries in that offense, man. He's going to, just like Sterling Shepard, he's just going to have to touch the football. End of story. All right. Quarterback replacements. We're going to move on to that, Matthew Berry, with it being week 7, as you talked about. Mm-hmm. Quarterback replacements is presented by Geico.
Oh.
Do you want to know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving by switching to Geico. Visit geico.com and see if saving money is in your future. Happy Geico-ween, Matthew Berry.
Happy Geico-ween to you, Daniel. Have you decided what you're dressing as for Geico-ween?
I have not yet. I've got a lot of options ahead of me. I'm trying to think of something real fun because I'm like, you know, we'd be fun to do something big this year.
Yeah. You know what? You know what you should do?
What?
Just be like a sexy nurse.
Stop. I was thinking about going.
What about a sexy cop?
I was thinking about going as sexy waiver man. I'm not going to lie.
You should do that too. Or a sexy waiver man. That's good. It's my daughters. You know, like I always go with something. My daughters always basically choose my costume
because
it's always in theme with what they're going on. And they're still they're going through all their options.
Yeah.
You know, they got a lot of choices. So they're breaking it down.
Well, speaking of having a lot of choices, we do not have a lot of choices at quarterback this
no,
week.
Sir.
But Derek Carr does make the love list for you if you need a streamer for week 7 by McGettin.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think the stat is crazy. But so far this year, the only quarterback with more passing yards than Derek Carr, Tom Brady.
That's insane.
He's had multiple touchdown passes in every game this year except for one, right? He's had 4 different games with 21 or more fantasy points. And Eagles, you know, listen, the Eagles have struggled somewhat. You know, the Eagles defense is not, you know, not super scary. They're 31st over the last 4 weeks in scoring defense in terms of just, you know, points given up. And so the over-under of this is close to 50 in this game. I think a lot of points get scored here. So I have Derek Carr as a top 12 play this week. He is my favorite streamer of the guys that are available in a majority of leagues.
I am 100% with you. I like Derek Carr the most out of anybody. If I was going to go with someone else because someone took Derek Carr from me, it would be Tua Tagovailoa after 300 yards and 2 touchdowns last week. Taking on Atlanta, this has a chance to be a sneaky shootout game.
I agree.
They can definitely score some points here. And so the idea that Tua is going to have to throw to either Jalen Waddle, Mike Gesicki, keep them both involved. I like both of these quarterbacks as potential streamers if you need somebody here in week 7.
You know, the one question here is whether, and I agree with you, like I have Tagovailoa as a streamer as well. Thirsty Kyle notes that the Falcons rank bottom 7 in the NFL in passing touchdown rate, interception rate, pressure rate. The Dolphins believe it or not, the pass heaviest offense in the NFL, which makes sense.
Yeah.
Their defense has been bad and they can't run block to save their lives.
Nope.
So they can't run the ball. They can't play defense. What do they have to do? They have to throw. So you feel better about this at Devontae Booker. Plays not Devontae Parker, sorry, not Booker. If Devontae Parker plays in this game,
sure.
But Jalen Waddle, obviously, a huge game last week. Mike Gesicki has come on strong lately, so hopefully Parker's out there. We will see how that plays out. I think he practiced on a limited basis yesterday. But anyway, so we'll see if Parker's out there. But I agree with you on Tagovailoa. I'm as a top 12 play this week as well.
Love it. We're gonna get a couple. We're gonna get into a couple more loves and some fix me games in just a minute. But first, support for this podcast and the following message comes from Supercuts Hair. It has a way of growing back faster than we want it to. And somehow...
Not always true, Daniel!
Somehow it can feel like we need more haircuts than we have time for. Well, luckily, Supercuts is here for is making grabbing a haircut easy. Supercuts is here for you if you're someone who needs a haircut but doesn't think they have time for a haircut. No more scouring the web for salons with availability. You can use the Supercuts app to find the location nearest you and check in or just walk in. You want to know another bonus? The salon shows estimated wait time so you know exactly what you're in for. As for the cut itself, it's always super solid thanks to Supercut's highly trained stylists. Get in, get out, and get to that thing you needed a haircut for. Whether you've got a first date or a vacation coming up, or you just want to look good, Supercuts makes getting a haircut effortless. It's not just any haircut, it's Supercuts. Check in now on the Supercuts app or on supercuts.com. All right, Matthew Berry, I actually really loved your, I guess you call it a love-hate column this year, even though it was just the love column this week, because there are so many players on bye that we just want to love everybody. I'm always in on that. I'm actually wearing, there was a new season of Critical Role last night, new Campaign 3. Nobody else here is going to know what I'm talking about.
Not a clue.
But a shout out to all the Critical Role, any other critters out there, Matt Mercer and everybody from there. Don't forget to love
what
each other.
What is that? Like... Is that a band? Is it a show?
Critical Role is Dungeons and Dragons. So they do campaigns, uh-huh. which are like a do a whole thing, and then they air them on YouTube. And so Matt Mercer is...
Hang on, slow down for a second. Critical Role is what?
Is a
Let's
show.
Just start with that. It's
Critical
a show.
Critical Role is a show.
It's a show. Okay. And it's a show that airs
on YouTube. Every Thursday.
Okay, so it's a show that airs on YouTube every Thursday.
Correct.
Okay. And so there was and it's a show about Dungeons and Dragons?
It is a group of people playing Dungeons and Dragons. Matt Mercer, who is the guy that leads it, okay. is their dungeon master.
Okay, yeah, sure.
And so he sets up all of everything, and then you have the people that are there. They all react to the things that Matt has set up as a part of playing Dungeons and Dragons, all the things that happen throughout the day.
Now, I have a question for
so
you.
It's all role-playing.
One question?
Well, right, so it's role... I have so many.
Role-play.
I have a lot of questions here. But, I know that, with Dungeons & Dragons, it's a lot of, you got, 15-sided dice and stuff like that, and you're oh, no, I fell under a spell. I'm a troll now. Whatever.
Yeah.
Right?
You'd be good at this
one. Yeah. So but is... When you say they react to the things that he's the dungeon master, so this is a show.
Yeah,
is it a show of just literally people sitting around a board rolling dice, or are people dressed as dragons and stuff?
No, they're sitting around a board.
My witch power is I got a 6x whatever. What is is it like a theater version of Game of Thrones, basically, where people are like
so. I hear you. So here's.
By the way, I want to be very clear on this. I am not making fun of Dungeons and Dragons
because I've
made a career at fantasy football, which is just as nerdy, just in sports. So I'm absolutely not throwing any judgment at people who play Dungeons and Dragons. I want to be very clear. I am making fun of Daniel for watching a YouTube show about it, but I am not making fun of people who play it because it's a game that's been around forever and people love it and they're into it. And again, I'm into fantasy football, which is just as nerdy. So
yeah.
Okay.
Really quickly. And then we'll get back to football.
Yeah.
They are all voice actors. Everybody that's a part of Critical Role, that's the show, they are all voice actors. So they do a lot of anime. They do a lot of video games. You've probably heard them.
Right, I understand.
A lot of places.
But are they dressed up as dragons and witches and wizards? And they have clubs and stuff like that?
They don't dress up themselves. Sometimes they'll dress up if they have a thing that they're doing. But normally it's just themselves. They dress like themselves. And then everything they do is in character. So as their voice, when they're having conversations, when they're doing stuff, they're in character.
So they are in character where they're not dressed.
Correct.
But they're just doing it as voice.
And it's about 4 hours every Thursday.
I think we found
four hours.
We found Matthew's Halloween costume. He has to go with what he envisions these people.
And you watch this every week,
as much as
I can. So when you're preparing our show, you're spending 4 hours watching other people play Dungeons and Dragons. Instead of actually playing it yourself, inviting some friends over and interacting with people, you're literally watching other people doing this.
I have a fantastic D&D group called the Steel Magnolias. Shout out to you guys back home.
Shout out to the Steel Magnolias. I can't believe Critical Role. Is that
it.
I got it right? How have you not been invited to be on Critical Role?
Oh,
you're more
so,
famous than half those people.
They're so much more famous than I am.
Stop
you have no
it.
Idea how famous those people are, Matthew
I think
Berry.
We have a new campaign to launch.
Like, yeah, let's get you on Critical Role. You could be like, I'll be like a goblin.
I would give anything to be on Critical Role.
Okay.
Marcia, you hit me up whenever
you're
you want.
You're here first. We're gonna
all
get
right.
Data.
We're
all
make
right.
that happen.
Let's make some. Let's have some conversation around some big name fix me games, Matthew Berry.
Yeah.
This week we're talking about Terry McLaurin too. I mean, yes, Terry McLaurin had a tough week last week. Makes the love list this week, though, against the Green Bay Packers. And I'm assuming this is going to be game script. Packers are going to blow you guys out. You're going to have to throw the football. Terry McLaurin's just a good wide receiver.
He's had almost a 30% target share.
Yeah.
Again, not 100% healthy, but he got out there last week. I know it was a disappointing week last week. I am back in on Terry McLaurin. Like, I know people like really love Terry McLaurin, but I just thought because not 100% healthy, banged up last week, disappointing week fantasy-wise last week for him, I just want to throw some confidence his way. Five different times a wide receiver has seen eight or more targets against Green Bay this year, and they average 17.4 fantasy points per game. McLaurin's gotten eight targets in three straight. My expectation here is, again, game script. They're going to have to throw a ton. He should see eight targets once again.
Yep.
My expectation here is, again, game script and volume for Terry McLaurin in this one equals a big fantasy day for him. I am as a top eight play this week.
I like that call. Let's talk about Julio. I know we talked about him briefly before when we were talking about injuries taken on the Kansas City Chiefs. This is interesting. Fields got him at 36, Matthew Berry.
Mm-hmm.
You have him at 28. ESPN consensus is at 24. It feels like all of us are hedging a little bit given the health of Julio. If he rolls this Sunday.
In a critical role, yeah.
if he plays, I love you so much.
Yeah.
Don't forget
by the
to
way,
Shirley,
hey,
everybody.
Thirsty Kyle texted me, by the way. Critical Role has over half a million followers on Twitter.
Yes.
So, which is obviously a lot more than you.
Yes.
But here's a question. Thirsty Kyle, look this up. Does Critical Role follow at Daniel Dopp on Twitter?
They follow 12 people.
12 people. Is Daniel one of them?
I'm looking to confirm. I'm going to go ahead and guess no.
I would look at Let's look at Matthew Mercer because he's the DM. Tell me how many
he's
people
the dungeon
Matthew
master.
Mercer
yeah,
follows.
Matthew Mercer.
Matthew
Mercer.
So
Critical Role is like just, that's a brand.
He follows 1,900 people.
1,900 people. Is one of them Daniel Dopp? Figure out if that's, all right.
I'm working.
We'll get back to Terry McLaurin here. Oh, Julio Jones. We're talking about Julio Jones. Yeah, I mean, I think Julio Jones is a wide receiver three with upside. I think, you know, and some risk as well.
I agree.
Like, he hasn't been able to really finish many games here. Well, let me turn to Stephania Bell. Stephania Bell, are you starting Julio Jones this week?
Look, if he plays, depending on what you have, right, it all goes to what you have, but in the week that this is, if I had to start him, I would.
Yeah.
But
you wouldn't feel great about it. Doesn't sound like you'd feel great about it.
No, but I think he has a chance to get in the end zone? Do I think he has a chance to put up, you know, double digit points? I do think he does if he plays.
I agree with that. Okay. Let's talk about Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. Metcalf made the wide receiver cornerback list, Matthew Berry, with getting a shadow from Marshawn Lattimore. Last week, neither of them, neither of these wide receivers were top 30. It was the first time that happened this year. Do you know what happened last week that was different than all the other weeks?
What was that?
Geno Smith started a quarterback. Geno Smith is still starting a quarterback this week,
yeah.
Matthew.
Yeah, but part of me feels like, and maybe this is just like wishful thinking, but you know, both guys got decent targets, and it's one thing to be on the road at Pittsburgh in a game that the Steelers really needed to win in a primetime game. Like, I always believe teams get up more for primetime games, like a national audience, and you've done more interviews that week, and like the crowd is really into it in a big way. So now Geno Smith had moments. It definitely was not a great, you know, it was not a great game for Geno Smith. In fairness to Geno Smith, he was also under pressure in a significant way.
Yes, he was.
Right? You know, the offensive line didn't help. This is also a tough matchup with the Saints. But I don't think their defensive line is, you know, they don't have TJ Watt. You understand what I'm saying? So I think that Geno Smith will have more time to throw. It's another week in the system as the starting quarterback. And it's also a home game for Seattle. Once again, it's a Monday night game. A little bit of a gut call here, but I think Geno Smith plays better this week than he did last week. And I certainly think he plays well enough to have productive fantasy days for DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. if I have either one of those players on my team, I am starting them and I'm not thinking about it. I have Tyler Lockett at 23. I have DK Metcalf at 12.
More concerned about Tyler Lockett, but that's obvious,
well,
right?
Well, sure. In general, sure. But so, I mean, I guess it depends on who else you have. But
no way you're not playing Tyler Lockett this week in week 7.
Well, exactly. Like, if Russell Wilson were starting, Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf would be between like 5 and 8.
Yeah.
And this week I'm at 12. And if Russell Wilson was starting, Tyler Lockett would be like somewhere between like 15 and 19.
Yeah.
And this week I have a 23, right? So you're lowering expectations for both guys a little bit. But in general, I think if you would normally start these guys, I still would start them this week. I think Geno Smith and the entire Seattle offense, including their offensive line, plays better, especially as we talked about. I don't think they'll be able to run the ball. Regardless of the health of Alex Collins, I think they're going to have to be more aggressive through the air this week than they were last week against Pittsburgh.
I agree with that. A couple more people we're going to talk about here. Matthew, Darren Waller. I got to be honest.
Okay, be honest.
Finishes tight end 2 in week 1. Hasn't been better than tight end 9 since. Here's the thing. Yes, you're starting Darren Waller every week. That's never a question. You know the talent that is there with Darren Waller, and you know that Derek Carr is just throwing the heck out of the football.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still disappointed in Darren Waller this year.
Given where he was drafted, there's been definitely some disappointing games here, but I think he's a great buy low.
Yeah.
I think he's a great buy low. He's still getting a ton of targets. Look, I get it. Like, you know, the emergence of Hunter Renfro and Henry Ruggs has depleted some of the necessity of Darren Waller in that passing offense. So the fact that they've actually had more targets, you know, before it was like it was Darren Waller or bust,
yeah,
you know, basically in the passing game. And so they've actually had some nice weapons emerge there. And Bryan Edwards has had some nice moments here and there as well. But my expectation here is that Darren Waller is too good and too important to that offense to not have another big game here. Like, I mean, he's had 4 more catches in every game this entire year and even more dating back to last year. Kyle notes 13 straight games. Only Davante Adams has a longer active streak. So there's always a nice floor there with him.
Yeah.
And especially when you think about the fact that he's a tight end. Philadelphia has traditionally struggled against tight ends. I think Waller has a big game.
I think I'm with
you. I think he's due. He's due for a big game.
This is one of those things where it's like we see it for a number of games in a row. You're just waiting for that breakout because you know he's so good. You know what's inside of him. So he's got that there.
I have him at 2. Field has him at 3. He has Mark Andrews at 2, which I think is an interesting call.
Interesting.
I like the call there. Listen, Andrews have been red hot.
He's been crushing.
So I like the call by Field, but I'm sticking with Waller at number 2.
All right, let's talk about a couple of dart throws. Understanding week 7 is tough. On the other side of Darren Waller, we talked about Henry Ruggs. If you need a dart throw, Henry Ruggs, someone at least you could look at this week that maybe can get some targets.
He's one play. I mean, that's what you need from him. I'm at 36. Like, he is, it's a little bit of how lucky do you feel. Now, Philadelphia, like, sometimes gets aggressive in the secondary. And so, you know, if they try to make a play and they, you know, they take a bad angle and then Ruggs is off to the races, great. But again, he's a very much a boom bust risk reward type play for me. Again, I'm at 36.
Agreed. What about Rashad Bateman? Rashad Bateman came off of IR last week. He had 6 targets on the 20 snaps that he had. So he was actually pretty heavily utilized in his first NFL game. But he's another guy, at least, even though we don't know a lot about him, based on that target share last week, feels like someone you could at least give a dart throw to.
Yeah, I don't mind him as a dart throw, certainly not in DFS. Like, the initial usage was good. The concern here, again, is just like, does he get the kind of volume? Because now you're talking about, you got Marquise Brown, you got Mark Andrews, and you've got them as more than a touchdown favorite in this game. So do they need to throw that much? But having said that, I think Bateman is super talented. I think he's somebody that needs to be rostered. And I do like him. He's in that same Henry Ruggs dart throw range.
Yeah.
That we're not saying he's definitely going to produce, but like if you're like, I'm desperate for somebody with some upside, Henry Ruggs has obvious upside, Rashad Bateman, obvious upside.
All right, how do you feel about Marquez Callaway? Because he's somebody here that... Seattle is allowing the 6th most yards to wide receivers per game. But yes, the thing is, he's not... I had better expectations for Marquez Callaway this start of the season.
Sure.
Again, it's week 7.
He had a huge preseason, then somewhat disappointing. But the game before the bye, monster game. Now, some of that was that...
Hail Mary at the...
Stupid Hail Mary that Washington refused to jump. Like, don't get me started. But... The fact of the matter is that he still got a decent amount of targets and scored another touchdown that was legitimate in that game against Washington. They've had 2 weeks to prepare. No Michael Thomas in this game.
Mm-hmm.
So going up against Seattle, to your point, which is a secondary that certainly struggled so far this year. They're 30th against the pass over the last 4 weeks. They're 30th, right? I mean, like, you know, and so my expectation here is that New Orleans comes out, they're aggressive. Callaway, I think, again, I'm wide receiver 39. So again, these are all guys, like, I mean, I have Bateman at 41, I have Callaway at 39, I have Ruggs at 36. Like, they're all sort of right there in that kind of dart throw territory. But yes, those are all guys that I think might be available in your league and do have some upside if you are struggling from Bimageddon.
Yeah, they'll at least be on the field. And right now, sometimes that's sort of what you're looking for.
Yeah.
Guys who are going to be on the field, potentially getting snaps that can have targets. All right, Stefania,
on the field or in the dragon pit.
That's...
Where are some of the locations in Dungeons and Dragons? Like is there a lair? Is there a lair that people go to?
It's not, boy, this is so hard to explain, especially live on a podcast. It's not quite like that. It's more open world than what you're thinking.
Okay.
There's like a whole map with like a world, and
right.
So like you'll travel.
It's like Animal Crossing.
You're in a city and you're interacting with people, and then you go from that city to wherever. And like Matthew Mercer will play as the DM. He'll play all the people that
So he does many roles. Like the other 11 people are like one person.
Yes.
Like I'm the shopkeeper.
Travis and Marisha and Laura Bailey and
yeah, let's get them all in.
All those guys. Yes, all of them. 100%.
It's good that you know their names, because we're gonna get you on this show.
Well,
we're gonna try. Apparently, Kyle tells me Matt Mercer is his name.
Yep.
The Dungeon Master does follow Daniel on Twitter.
Oh,
look at that.
Hey, now.
Secret Squirrel, have you slid into his DMs yet?
I'm too shy.
Slide into his DMs.
No, I'm too shy. I love Matthew Mercer, though.
It's obvious you love Matt Mercer. By the way, I've got no issue with him. I just want to once again be very clear. All this is about making fun of Daniel
and not at all about what
Matt Mercer and his friends have built, because it's clearly very impressive.
Very impressive.
And so that is like much respect for that. Like, again, I am not at all. I want to be very clear. This is entirely making fun of Daniel.
They are,
and nothing else.
They are wonderful human beings.
I am sure they are.
I wear this shirt is a Critical Role shirt. It says, "Don't forget to love each other." It's one of the things that they say at the end of every single show, just to put as much love out into the world as we can have. So I want to end this show on that same note. But first, Stefania, I know you have a quick nugget you want to give us before we get out of here.
I do. If you're desperate and Bimageddon looking for a running back replacement, Jamichael Hasty.
What?
Expected to get activated and rejoin the 49ers would probably be the number two behind Elijah Mitchell this weekend.
Oh.
49ers coming off a bye week. Jamichael Hasty hurt his ankle, had a high ankle sprain, was on injured reserve, back this week practicing. So consider that.
I like that call, Stefania. That's right. They hate Trey Sermon, don't they?
They really do. I don't know why they drafted him with
a fiery passion. Don't they, Stefania?
I don't know Trey Sermon or Brandon Ayuk, who's
more in the doghouse
these days.
It's tough.
Yeah, it's rough.
More in the dungeon out there. See what I did there?
So to speak.
More in the dungeon.
By the way, I'm seeing tweets. You know, people are really lobbying now for Daniel to get on Critical Role.
Absolutely.
Roles. I love it.
So wait, what's this guy's name? Matt Mercer? What's it?
At Matthew Mercer. Yeah.
At Matthew Mercer is his Twitter handle.
I feel so bad about this.
Hang on. I want everyone in 0601 Nation. I am begging you, as a favor to me, as a favor to your pal Maddie, put some good fantasy karma. Like, you want to win week 7? Here's what you're going to do. You are going to go to Twitter, and you are going to at Matthew Mercer.
Nicely.
Spelled the way it is. Nicely. Absolutely. Do not insult him. Like, very nicely. At Matthew Mercer, and you're going to say, "Hey, Matthew Mercer, will you please put at Daniel Dopp on Critical Role? Hashtag 0601.
Hashtag D&D for D&D.
Oh, DD for D&D.
Oh,
Daniel,
wow.
Yes. Nice job, sir. Hashtag DD for D&D.
That's it right there.
There you go.
That's
Boom.
It.
Mic drop.
At Matthew Mercer.
Thank you for this.
At hashtag DD for D&D. Let's do this. Let's make this happen.
Let's make this happen.
Come on, Critical Role. At Daniel Dopp, the soon-to-be Dungeon Master Daniel Dopp. For Stefania Bell, Thirsty Kyle, I hope Field is having a great wedding. We will see you Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN2 for Fantasy Football Now. New episode of The Fantasy Show with me and Daniel.
Super fun.
Stream, very funny, like one of the best we've ever done. Please watch that. It is streaming now on ESPN+. Check that out. Good luck in week 7. Peace out.
She's got a smile that'll melt your heart. She's always there to lend a helping hand. Her fantasy knowledge is just the start. Her skills are highly in demand. She's our Bay Area lady out there hustling for us with advice that we really trust. Bay Area lady, always there to help. She's not a cone, she's your favorite gal. She's to find your best.